back, and a number had other obligations that they could not avoid, especially when they came in dresses and curly hair. So we understand that, but good to see each one of y'all. It's been a nice day, hadn't it? I appreciate Mike and Kimber getting everything set up. I really I love the toy theme, all the peals of laughter and giggles and squeals of delight. That was just from the men with all that. And so it was fun. We haven't had one like that before, and I enjoyed that. We were talking this morning about the eternal life that we know that we can have, and about the reunion that we're going to have someday. And obviously that's contingent upon us not losing track of why we're here. And so that's one of the main things. By the way, this is 12 minutes or it's free. I'll add a minute for each person I see nodding off. So we should be out here by 4 o'clock. So I came across this right after Carolyn and I got married. My mom got us a Reader's Digest subscription, and it always had, I always liked the jokes in it, but they always had little things in it, little blurbs, sometimes really neat articles. We had one article that Carolyn absolutely hated. It was an article on why you should never warm up your car and how damaging that is on the engine. And we lived in Casper, Wyoming. And I don't know if she sent him a dirty letter or not, but she should have, because we always had a cold car. I know she didn't, but I do remember her talking about that. But this that I cut out probably when I was 22 or 23 years old, and I've carried it with me. As a matter of fact, it's sitting under a piece of glass right now on my desk. It made such an impression. And it's a quote by a woman named Betty Howland, or Bette Howland. I'm not sure how you pronounce her name. But again, probably from 1982, 1983, and this is what it said. For a long time, it seemed to me that real life was about to begin, but there was always some obstacle in the way. Something had to be gotten through first, some unfinished business, time still to be served, a debt to be paid. Then life would begin. At last it dawned on me that these obstacles were my life. I think about that, and I think about all the stuff that I'm going to really do once I get past whatever I'm involved with now. And finally, by about the time that I turned, I don't know, I'm 62 now, so about the time I turned 62 and a half, I realized that you will never get to the point where everything lines up so that you can do everything you want to do. And so the idea behind this is to take care of that which is the most important. We've had a, I won't call it a rough few years, because it really hasn't been rough, but we lost both sets of our parents, Carolyn and I did, in a 2.5 year span. And it was rough from losing our affection, our connection to those who had raised us and who had given us so much wisdom through the years and who doubtlessly had prayed for us more than anybody else. And so from that perspective, certainly it was difficult. But each one of them appeared to be ready to go home. Each one of them had been faithful Christians, apparently. Now, obviously, this is God's final decision on that. But unless they had us all fooled, everything's better for them now. Mary passed when she was 88, and then Dad passed when he was 84, and then Mom passed when she was 83, after being told from the time that she was 11 that she wouldn't make it to 18. And then Alvin passed at 90. They died full of years, as the Bible would say. And each one of them had their difficulties in life. I don't know what privileges we're going to have in heaven, but I cannot imagine that we do not recognize one another, nor that there would be any way that we would not have the opportunity to visit again. I'm always impressed at the transfiguration that Peter, James, and John knew who Moses and Elijah were, even though they had never met them. The idea that we won't know people once they've died, and that can't be right. But if I get the opportunity, I really want to talk to my two grandmothers. Because my granny, before she was married to my grandfather, who was a bootlegger, before she would go out with him, she said, "You've got to give this up." And he enjoyed doing what he did. But he gave it up. Raised good family. It was my granny that was the glue of that family, though. He passed when I was 5 years old, so I didn't know him very well. From all I've heard, he was a fine man. But my granny, I knew. Granny died in 1998, so I knew Granny for 38 years of my life. My mom's mom, who we called Mama, she married an alcoholic. And as is the case sometimes with that, he could not ever get past it. He left his wife, his son, and his daughter. And he just went off somewhere. My grandmother divorced him. And then he showed up again about, I don't know, maybe 5-10 years later. He was off alcohol, he said. He was reformed, and well, they got married again, and then he started up again. Come to find out, during that 5-year interim, he had married another woman, or at least had another woman that he lived with as his wife, had another family. And when my grandmother, when he left the second time and went through all that, she remained faithful. On the first day of every week, though they lived way out in the country, she would get the kids ready, and they would get on a bus, and they would go to Broadway Church of Christ. That was the way they grew up. Mama had a hard life. And then my mom, when she was a little girl, she had asthma so bad, the doctors told her mom, "There's no way she'll live to be 18. And they were correct. She didn't live to just 18. she had the heartache of what her daddy did to the family. And then she had the health concerns that she dealt with. I forgot how many bouts of cancer she went through in her lifetime. But it started when she was, I think, in her late 20s with skin cancer. It just progressed from that point. Went through stage 4 lung cancer at one point. And then it was finally another type of cancer that she was battling with at the end. And yet Mom was always faithful. If you were to talk to them, or anybody else that we know that was faithful, wouldn't they tell you that it was all worth it? That this little brief disappointments in life were worth getting through in order to be with God forever? And don't you know those that didn't make it, who had just what we would consider to be an ideal life, just everything went their way, but they were not faithful to God, don't you know that they would say, "Not one second was worth it. If I could do it over, I'd crawl on my hands and knees over glass to change it." But they cannot. And so the point of the lesson tonight, and I'm going to end with a scripture, so I'm not going to leave it without scripture, and I apologize for the lack of it, but hopefully this was all scripturally based. We'll be in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, by the way, is this. We are here for God. We are here for the great reunion. We are going to serve God for all eternity if we are but faithful enough and in a covenant position with Him to where we can enjoy that service. And for those who don't enjoy the service now, it'll never get any better. Why would you want to spend an eternity serving somebody that you couldn't be bothered for 5 minutes in life? But for those who do, can you imagine the joy of being around God, the euphoria of being around the Holy One? the thrill of reconnecting with loved ones, the thrill of meeting new brothers and sisters that may have lived 6,000 years before we did. Oh, it's going to be fantastic. Ecclesiastes 12:1 puts it all into perspective. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you say, I find no pleasure in them. As you go down through verse 7, it points out, dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit, we're talking about the breath of life, not your soul, the spirit returns to God who gave it. But now look at this in 2 Peter. This is the passage we're going to close with. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything laid in it will be laid bare. Since then, everything will be destroyed in this way. What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire. Elements will melt in the heat. But here's the good part. In keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and look at this, and at peace with Him. Are you looking forward to it? Are you enjoying the peace that we have with Him? If you are, it's only going to get better. But if we waver and we leave God, it can only get worse. And the thing I like is we get to choose. So the encouragement tonight is choose life. Sometimes it's hard, but it's always worth it. The invitation's open. If you need to respond, please do while we stand and sing.